Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 12, The Expansions of Advaita Charya and Gadadhar Pandit. Text 1, 12, 74-78. By the mercy of Advaita Charya, the devotees who strictly followed the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attained the shelter of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet without difficulty. It should be concluded, therefore, that the path of Achyutananda is the essence of spiritual life. Those who did not follow this path simply scattered. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances millions of times to Achyutananda's actual followers, whose life and soul is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus I have briefly described the three branches, Achyutananda, Krishna Mishra, and Gopala, of Sri Advaita Charya's descendants. There are multifarious branches and sub-branches of Advaita Charya. It is very difficult to enumerate them fully. I have simply given a glimpse of the whole trunk and its branches and sub-branches. Verses 79-96. The followers of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. After describing the branches and sub-branches of Advaita Charya, I shall now attempt to describe some of the descendants of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, the most important among the branches. The chief branch of Sri Gadadhar Pandit were 1. Sri Dhruvananda, 2. Sridhara Brahmachari, 3. Haridas Brahmachari, and 4. Bhagavatacharya. Srila Prabhupada. Text 152 of the Gaurgana Dashtipika describes Sri Dhruvananda Brahmachari as an incarnation of Lalita. And texts 194 and 99 describe Sridhar Brahmachari as the gopi known as Chandra Latika. 112-81. The fifth branch was Anantacharya. The sixth, Kavidatta. The seventh, Nayana Misra. The eighth, Ganga Mantri. The ninth, Mamu Thakur. And the tenth, Kanta Bharana. Srila Prabhupada. Text 197 and 207 of the Gaurgana Dashtipika describe Kavidatta as the gopi named Kalakanti. Text 196 and 207 describe Nayana Mishra as the gopi named Nitya Manjari. And text 196 and 205 describe Ganga Mantri as the gopi named Chandrika. Mamu Thakur, whose real name was Jagannath Chakravarti, was the nephew of Sri Nilambar Chakravarti, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grandfather. In Bengal, a maternal uncle is called Mama. And in East Bengal and Orissa, Mamu. Thus, Jagannath Chakravarti was known as Mama or Mamu Thakur. Mamu Thakur's residence was in the district of Faridpur, in the village known as Magdoba. After the demise of Sri Gadadhar Pandit, Mamu Thakur became the priest in charge of the temple known as Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. According to the opinion of some Vaishnavas, Mamu Thakur was formerly known as Sri Rupa Manjari. The followers of Mamu Thakur were Raghunath Goswami, Ramachandra, Radhavallabha, Krishna Jivana, Shama Sundara, Santamani, Harinatha, Navina Chandra, Malilata, Dayamai, and Kunja Vihari. Kanta Bharana, whose original name was Sri Ananta Chataraj, was the gopi named Gopali in Krishna Lila. 112-82. The 11th branch of Gadadhar Goswami was Bhugarbha Gosai, and the 12th was Bhagavad Das, Both of them went to Vrindavan and resided there for life. Srila Prabhupada. Bhugarbha Gosai, formerly known as Prema Manjari, was a great friend of Lokanath Goswami, who constructed the temple of Gokulananda, one of the seven important temples of Vrindavan, namely those of Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Radha Raman, Shamasunda, Radha Damodar, and Gokulananda, which are authorized institutions of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. 112. So these are authorized, so then everything else would be in line with these, basically. 112.83. The 13th branch was Vaninath Brahmachari, and the 14th was Vallabha Chaitanya Das. Both of these great personalities were always filled with love of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Vaninath Brahmachari is described in the 10th chapter, verse 14 of the Adi Lila. A disciple of Vallabha Chaitanya named Nalini Mohan Goswami established a temple of Madan Gopal in Navadvip. 112.84. The 15th branch was Srinath Chakrabarti, the 16th Uddhava, the 17th Jitamitra, and the 18th Jagannath Das. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, the Shaka Nirnaya verse 13 mentions Srinath Chakrabarti as a reservoir of all good qualities and an expert in the service of Lord Krishna. Similarly, verse 35 mentions Uddhava Das as being greatly qualified in distributing love of Godhead to everyone. The Gorganudash Deepika 202 mentions Jitamitra as the gopi named Shyama Manjari. Jitamitra wrote a book entitled Krishna Mayurya. Jagannath Das was a resident of Vikramapura near Dhaka. His birthplace was the village known as Kastakata or Katadiya. His descendants now reside in villages known as Adi Yala, Kamarapada, and Paikapada. So this is probably Paikapada. I've heard of Paikapada. Paikapada and Kamarapada. He established a temple of Jasho Madhava. The worshippers in this temple are the Goswamis of Adiyala, as one of the 64 Sakis. He was formerly an assistant of Chitra Devi Gopi named Tilakini. The following is a list of his descendants. Rama Nrsingha, Rama Gopala, Rama Chandra, Sanatana, Mukta Rama, Gopinatha, Goloka, Hari Mohana Shiromani, Rakala, Raja, Madhava, and Lakshmi Kanta. The Shaka Nirnaya mentions that Jagannath Das preached the Hare Krishna movement in the district or state of Tripura. 112.85. The 13th branch was Sri Hari Acharya. The 20th, Sadiya Puriya Gopal. The 21st, Krishnadas Brahmachari. And the 22nd, Pushpa Gopal. Srila Prabhupada. The Gorganudash Deepika 196 and 207 mentions that Hari Acharya was formerly the gopi named Kalakshi. Sadi Puriya Gopal is celebrated as a preacher of the Hare Krishna movement in Vikramapura in East Bengal, now Bangladesh. Krishnadas Brahmachari was formerly among the group of Shakis known as the Astasakis. His name was Induleka. Krishnadas Brahmachari lived in Vrindavan. There's a tomb in the Radha Damodar temple known as Krishnadas's tomb. Some say that it's the tomb of Krishnadas Brahmachari, and others say it is that of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In other case, we offer our respects because both of them were expert in distributing love of Godhead to the fallen souls of this age. The Shaka Nirnaya mentions that Pushpa Gopal was formerly known as Swarna Gramaka. 112.86. The 23rd branch was Sri Harsha. The 24th, Raghu Mishra. The 25th, Lakshminath Pandit. The 26th, Bhangavati Chaitanya Das. And the 27th, Raghunath. Srila Prabhupada. Raghu Mishra is described in the Gorgonodashtipika 195 and 201 as Karpura Manjari. Similarly, Lakshminath Pandit is mentioned as Rasonmada, and Bhangavati Chaitanya Das is mentioned as Kali. The Shaka Nirnaya states that Bhangavati Chaitanya Das was also seen with eyes full of tears. He also had a branch of descendants. Their names were Mathura Prashada, Rukmini Kanta, Jivana Krishna, Jugala Kishore, Ratna Krishna, Radha Madhava, Ushamani, Vaikuntha Natha, and Lala Mohana, or Lala Mohana Saka Shankanidhi. Lala Mohana was a great merchant in the city of Dhaka. The Gorgonodashtipika 194 and 200 mentions that Raghunath was formerly Varangada. 112.87. The 28th branch was Amogha Pandit, the 29th Hasti Gopal, the 30th Chaitanya Vallabha, the 31st Yadu Ganguly, and the 32nd Mangala Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, wrote, Sri Mangala Vaishnava was a resident of the village Tikakana in the district of Murshidabad. His forefathers were Shaktas, who worshipped the goddess Kiriteshwari. It is said that Mangala Vaishnava, formerly a staunch brahmachari, left home and later married the daughter of his disciple, Prananath Adhikari, in the village of Mayanadala. The descendants of his family are known as the Thakuras of Kandada, which is a village in the district of Burdwan near Katwa. Scattered descendants of Mangala Vaishnava, 36 families altogether, still live there. Among the celebrated disciples of Mangala Thakur are Prananath Adhikari, Purushottama Chakravarti of the village of Kandada, and Nishinga Prashad Mitra, whose family members are well-known mridanga players. Sudha Krishna Mitra and Nikunjavihari Mitra are both especially famous mridanga players. In the family of Purushottama Chakravarti, there are famous persons like Kunjavihari Chakravarti and Radhavallabha Chakravarti, who now live in the district of Birbhum. They professionally recite songs from Chaitanya Mangala. It is said that when Mangala Thakur was constructing a road from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, he found a deity of Radhavallabha while digging a lake. At that time, he was living in the locality of Karnadha, in the village named Ranipura. The Shaligram Srila personally worshipped by Mangala Thakur still exists in the village of Kandada. A temple has been constructed there for the worship of Vrindavana Chandra. Mangala Thakur had three sons, Radhika, Prasad, Gopi, Ramana, and Shyamakishora. The descendants of these three sons are still living. 112.88. Shivananda Chakravarti, the 33rd branch, who always lived in Vrindavan with firm conviction, is considered an important branch of Gadadhar Pandit. Srila Prabhupada. The Gorgonodashtipika 183 mentions that Shivananda Chakravarti was formerly Lavanga Manjari. The Shaka Nirnaya, written by Yadunandana Das, also names other branches of Gadadhar Pandit as follows. 1. Madhavacharya. 2. Gopal Das. 3. Hridayananda. 4. Vallabha Bhatta. The Vallabha Sampradaya or Pushtimarga Sampradaya is very famous. 5. Madhu Pandit. This famous devotee lived near Karadaha in the village known as Sonibonagram, about 2 miles east of the Karadaha station, and constructed the temple of Gopinath Ji in Vrindavan. 6. Achutananda. 7. Chandrasekhar. 8. Vakreshwara Pandit. 9. Damodar. 10. Bhagavan Acharya. 11. Ananta Acharyavarya. 12. Krishnadasa. 13. Paramananda Bhattacharya. 14. Bhavananda Goswami. Wow. Yes, that's the right one. Because most think it's Bhavananda, but it's Bhavananda. Bhavananda. So that's, wow, okay. 15. Chaitanya Das. 16. Lokanath Bhatta. This devotee who lived in the village of Tila Kadi in the district of Jashohara, Jeshur. and constructed the temple of Radha Vinoda, was the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur and a great friend of Bhurgarbha Goswami. 17. Govinda Acharya. 18. Akrura Thakur. 19. Shanketa Acharya. 20. Pratapaditya. 21. Kamalakanta Acharya. 22. Yadav Acharya. And 23. Narayana Padihari, a descendant of Jagannath Puri. 112.89-86. Thus I have briefly described the branches and some branches of Gadadhar Pandit. There are still many more that I have not mentioned here. All the followers of Gadadhar Pandit are considered great devotees because they have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. Simply by remembering the names of all these branches and sub-branches of the three trunks I have described, Nityananda, Dwaita, and Gadadhar, one attains freedom from the entanglement of material existence. Right? So, yes. Simply by remembering the names of all these Vaishnavas, one can attain the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, simply by remembering their holy names, one achieves the fulfillment of all desires. Therefore, offering my obeisances to the lotus feet of them all, I shall describe the pastimes of the gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in chronological order. The ocean of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is immeasurable and unfathomable. Who can have the courage to measure that great ocean? It is not possible to dip into that great ocean. But its sweet, mellow fragrance attracts my mind. I therefore stand on the shore of that ocean and try to taste but a drop of it. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Okay. Conclusion. The order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. So you see this many times, these things where they're going through and naming all the different things. Also in Mahabharata, I think it's the second chapter, where it gives the whole table of contents and everything like that, what's in the book and that. So it says by hearing that, then one becomes purified. So here is that not only one gets purified, but one then, you know, gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because here it's then all the eternal associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila Study Guide Part 4, Sri Chaitanya's Pastimes from His Advent to His Acceptance of Sannyas, Chapters 13 through 17. So this finishes Adi?
Yes.
Chapter 13, The Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chapter 14, Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes. So that's Balya, up to the age of 5. Chapter 15, The Lord's Pauganda Lila, from 5 to 10. Chapter 16, the pastimes of the Lord in his childhood and youth. So, age 11 to 15. Chapter 17, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his youth. You know, from 16 to 24. Chapter 13, the advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Pratigya. One should not try to elevate himself artificially to the stage of Prema Bhakti without seriously following the regulative principles of Sadhana Bhakti. Right, so in these literatures, they're going to be talking about all the different levels, because that's the whole point, is that anybody can go through all those levels, but at the same time as you function at the position where one's at. Does that make sense? So just because it's describing something more advanced doesn't mean that that's for us. So that's the thing. One should not try to elevate himself artificially to this stage. So that means you're not on that platform, but you try to perform activities or things that one perceives that would be what you'd be doing. Because the point is they're not doing that as this is something to do. They're following the path of prema. And so following that path, then the opportunities to express that prema for Krishna, depending on how the situations are adjusting, that's what they follow. Does that make sense? So it's not a matter of sadhana. So as sadhaks, then we follow what's being given, you know, seriously following the regular principles of sadhana bhakti. That will bring one to bhava. Bhava then brings to prema. Just reading, Srila Prabhupada's mentioned in the TLC that by appreciating, means that, in other words, by appreciating the position that Krishna's name and himself are non-different, the result of that is one is established on the platform of bhava. Does that make sense? So it's not just that they roll around and do that or stuff like that. It's that they don't see a difference between Krishna and his name. So when they're chanting the name, they're in association with Krishna. Right? So because it's Krishna, that brings them to establish them on the platform of bhava. So it's not artificial, it's very specific. Yes?
Can a devotee who is on the lower stage of devotion describe what happens on the higher stage?
Means we can describe the activities that we see there, but we may not be able to appreciate what they're tasting and all that. You know, because the pastimes of the Lord is about the taste. So we're seeing the forms and activities, the interactions, that we may take something. We may take the activities are impressive, what they've done is impressive, or the moves and the attitudes or the qualities, you know, we find attractive or that. Does that make sense? But we may not appreciate the taste that they're having. So we can't describe that. Does that make sense? But you can describe, because here's the pastimes are there, and you understanding and appreciating, having faith, you can repeat the pastimes. And whatever one appreciates or understands from it, then that can be explained. Because the point is the connection to Krishna, that's the important aspect. But one is not presenting that one is in a more advanced position. One is just explaining according to, you know, one's own ability. Like we see in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami was asked to speak, Suta Goswami, when he was asked to speak, then he said that, you know, birds can fly at different heights, depending on the bird. So I will, you know, at the level that I can fly at, then I will describe Bhagavatam. So it's always done. So that's important that you know you can. Yes, you can, but it's at the level that you're at, and that's why then there's certain literatures that aren't general reading material, because those in there people won't understand, won't appreciate, and things like that. You know, they'll come up with the wrong understanding. Is that?
Yeah.
Adhyaya Prakashika. The 13th chapter describes the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which took place with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 17:325. The 13th chapter describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. The entire Adi Lila describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's household life. And similarly, the Antya Lila describes his life in the sannyas order. Within the Lord's Antya Lila, the first 6 years of his sannyas life are called the Madhya Lila. During this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu toured southern India, went to Vrindavan, returned from Vrindavan, and preached the Sankirtan movement. Right, so means you're going to have the beginning, and you're going to have the later. Right, so within the latter, then the first 6 years are taken. Are the Madhya Lila, all the preaching and all that. So that's where generally all the discussions, the philosophy mainly comes up there for establishing Krishna consciousness, you know, and removing doubts like that. Does that make sense? Because 24 years he was as a Grihastha, 24 years as a sannyasi. Yes?
So can we break it, Sambandha Vidhe and Prayojana?
Yeah, basically it could. But here we see is this some. The Abhidhaya and Prayojana is having that aspect within the Antyalila. Means within the sannyas pastimes. Not that you can find these all throughout, of course. Because we see all kinds of amazing things happen in him establishing so many different aspects. But you'll generally see is that in the Navadvipa Lila, he's establishing the point of that love for Krishna and all that, and he's tasting that in his Sankirtan mission. But at the same time, he's dealing with so many devotees that have different tastes and different aspects. But we see when he goes into the Antya Lila aspect, then basically he's just focusing on you know, his service to Radha and Krishna. Right. A learned Brahmin named Upendra Misra who resided in the district of Srihatta, was the father of Jagannath Mishra, who came to Navadvip to study under the direction of Nilambar Chakravarti, and then settled there after marrying Nilambar Chakravarti's daughter, Sachi Devi. Sri Sachi Devi gave birth to 8 children, all daughters, who died one after another immediately after birth. After a 9th pregnancy, she gave birth to a son, who was named Vishwarup. Then, in 1407 Shaka era, A.D. 1486, in the full moon evening of the month of Phalgun, there was the constellation of Simha, Leo, on the horizon. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as the son of Sri Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra. After hearing of the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learned scholars and brahmanas bringing many gifts came to see the newborn baby. Nilambar Chakravarti, who was a great astrologer, immediately prepared a horoscope, and by astrological calculation, he saw that the child was a great personality. This chapter describes the symptoms of this great personality. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 50, synopsis of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. 51 to 124, Lord Chaitanya Janma Lila. Verses 1 to 50, synopsis of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. 113.1. I wish the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even one who has fallen can describe the pastimes of the Lord. Right, so that's the point right there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's by Lord Chaitanya's grace. It's not that we're so fabulous. That's why. Srila Prabhupada. To describe Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Sri Krishna, one needs supernatural power, which is the grace and mercy of the Lord. Without this grace and mercy, one cannot compose transcendental literature. By dint of the grace of the Lord, however, even one who is unfit for a literary career can describe wonderful transcendental topics. Description of Krishna is possible for one who is empowered. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 7.11. Unless endowed with the mercy of the Lord, one cannot preach. One cannot preach of the Lord's name, fame, qualities, form, entourage, and so on. It should be concluded, therefore, that the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami manifests specific mercy bestowed upon the author, although he thought of himself as the most fallen. We should not consider that him fallen because he describes himself as such. Rather, anyone who is able to compose such transcendental literature is our esteemed master. Right? So they're humble doesn't mean that we take it. Oh, yeah, so doesn't. Yeah. 113.2-5. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Advaita Chandra. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Gadadhar Prabhu. All glories to Srivas Thakur. All glories to Mukunda Prabhu and Vasudev Prabhu. All glories to Haridas Thakur. All glories to Srup Damodar and Murari Gupta. All these brilliant moons have together dissipated the darkness of this material world. All glories to the moons who are the devotees of the principal moon, Lord Chaitanya Chandra. Their bright moonshine illuminates the entire universe. Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, we find the moon described as Chandragana, which is plural in number. This indicates there are many moons. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.21, the Lord says, Nakshatranam aham shashi. Among the stars, I am the moon. All the stars are like the moon. Western astronomers consider the stars to be suns. But Vedic astronomers, following the Vedic scriptures, consider them moons. The sun has the ability to shine powerfully, and the moons reflect the sunshine and therefore look brilliant. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna is described to be like the sun. The supreme powerful is the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, or Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his devotees are also bright and illuminating because they reflect the supreme sun. So in that way, there's so many moons there. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22.31, states, Krishna is bright like the sun. As soon as the sun appears, there is no question of darkness or nescience. End quote. Similarly, the present verse also describes that by the illumination of all the moons, brightened by the reflection of the Krishna sun, or by the grace of all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the entire world will be illuminated, despite the darkness of Kali Yuga. Only the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga, the ignorance of the population of this age. No one else can do so. We therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna conscious movement may reflect the Supreme Sun and thus dissipate the darkness of the entire world. Right? So by being Krishna conscious, by being under the direction of the acharyas, then we are, practicing our Krishna consciousness. So because of that, then one has that ability to reflect some of that light of Krishna, the light, that mercy of Krishna, and that then will help in illuminating the world. Somebody says, yes.
So does it mean that the jiva, they don't generate their own energy, it's just a reflection of the supreme energy?
It means they can't generate, because energy doesn't generate energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So even whatever energy we can say is ours, that's still there by Krishna's grace. And that's just according to our previous activities. But then for the spiritual movement, then we're getting that potency there. That's the chitma potency that's there. Mm-hmm. That's what then empowers the jivas to do all these things. So by Krishna's grace, then the living entity can do so many things. But being conscious and all that, then they can take part in that conscious way. Otherwise, we see the dead matter, the potency can be within it, and so it can take on the qualities, but it itself is never conscious. Like the wire can transfer electricity, but it itself never is conscious of that, and therefore is not getting technically the credit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But the devotees being able to deliver that mercy of the Lord, then they're taking part, they get credit. But it's always seen as coming from the Lord. So they're humble because they say it just comes from the Lord. And the other devotees respect them because they are delivering that mercy of the Lord. So, yeah. We therefore wish that all the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement may reflect the Supreme Sun and thus dissipate the darkness of the entire world. 1:13:6-29. Thus I have spoken the preface of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now I shall describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in chronological order. So this was the preface. Before that was the Mangalacharan. Right?
And now so, there will be a synopsis before he actually starts.
So this is, that was the preface. So this is the synopsis.
For the first 50 verses.
Yeah, so these five were the preface. Now the synopsis. Now I shall describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in chronological order. Right? Because by going through there, then you see all the pastimes. Because otherwise, when it goes, then sometimes one pastime is mentioned, it'll refer to another, and then it may not always be in order when you give a full explanation. So here he can give that chronological order.
Also, there is that aspect that he was very old and was also anxious on whether he could finish or not. That's why he...
Okay, so each one is complete in itself. So as it goes, then, Well, you see, it's like Srila Prabhupada's books. Each one he did is complete in itself. So even if there isn't more, it's already... Like Krishna book, it's complete in itself. Nectar Devotion, or TLC, or all things like that. First, let me give us a synopsis of the Lord's pastimes. Then I shall describe them in detail. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, adventing himself in Navadvipa, was visible for 48 years, enjoying his pastimes. In the year 407 of the Shaka era, AD 1486, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, and in the year 1455, AD 1534, he disappeared from this world. For 24 years, Lord Chaitanya lived in the Grihastha ashram, household life, always engaged in the pastimes of the Hare Krishna movement. After 24 years, he accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, and he resided for 24 years more at Jagannath Puri. Out of these last 24 years, he spent the first six continually touring India, sometimes in South India, sometimes in Bengal, and sometimes in Vrindavan. For the remaining 18 years, he continuously stayed in Jagannath Puri, chanting the nectarine Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He inundated everyone there in a flood of love of Krishna. The pastimes of his household life are known as the Adyalila, or the original pastimes. His latter pastimes are known as the Madhyalila and Antyalila, or the middle and final pastimes. All the pastimes enacted by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Adyalila were recorded in summary form by Murari Gupta. His latter pastimes, the Madhyalila and Antyalila, were recorded in the form of notes by his secretary, Srup Damodar Goswami, and thus kept within a book. By seeing and hearing the notes recorded by these two great personalities, a Vaishnava, a devotee of the Lord, can know these pastimes one after another. In his original pastimes, there are four divisions: Balya, Pauganda, Kaishor, and Yovana, childhood, early boyhood, latter boyhood, and youth. I offer my respectful obeisances under the full moon evening in the month of Falgun, an auspicious time full of auspicious symptoms, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invented himself with the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna. On the full moon evening of the month of Falgun, when the Lord took birth, coincidentally there was also a lunar eclipse. In jubilation, everyone is chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hari Hari, and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then appeared, after first causing the appearance of the holy name, because whenever there's an eclipse, then there'd be kirtan. So when the eclipse is there, then everybody be chanting, so therefore the holy name being already having appeared, then he comes after that. At his birth, in his childhood, and in his early years and later boyhood, as well as in his youth, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under different pleas, induced people to chant the holy name of Hari, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In his childhood, when the Lord was crying, he would stop immediately upon hearing the holy names of Krishna and Hari. All the friendly ladies who came to see the child would chant the holy names, Hari, Hari, as soon as the child would cry. When all the ladies saw this fun, they enjoyed laughing and calling the Lord Gaura Hari. From then on, Gaura Hari became another of his names. His childhood lasted until the day of Hate Kari, the beginning of his education. And his age from the end of his childhood until he married is called Pauganda. After his marriage, his youth began, and in his youth, he induced everyone to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra anywhere and everywhere. During his Pauganda Lila age, he became a serious student and also taught disciples. In this way, he used to explain the holy name of Krishna everywhere. When teaching a course in grammar, Vyakarana, and explaining it with notes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his disciples about the glory of Lord Krishna. All explanations culminated in Krishna, and his disciples would understand them very easily. Thus his influence was wonderful. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami compiled the grammar in two parts, named Lagu Hari Namamrita Vyakarana and Brihad Dhari Namamrita. Brihad Dhari Namamrita Vyakarana. If someone studies these two texts in Vyakarana or grammar, he learns the grammatical rules of the Sanskrit language and simultaneously learns how to become a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So it's in that same pursuit of that same method. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, right? So if you have that method, which is what Lord Chaitanya taught, why would anyone be interested in another method of learning Sanskrit? Right? Mm-hmm. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Kanda, first chapter, there is a statement about the method by which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught grammar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the aphorisms of grammar to be eternal, like the holy name of Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaish cha sarver aham eva vedyaha. The purport of all revealed scriptures is understanding of Krishna. Therefore, if a person explains anything that is not Krishna, he simply wastes his time laboring hard without fulfilling the aim of his life. So we can say, we're just dealing with the practical point. But the point is what's practical? Unless you can use it in Krishna's service. So unless you learned it in context of Krishna, then how you'll use it. So Krishna being the source of everything, therefore everything can be understood, should be understood in context of Him. Then it has meaning. Otherwise, then you can do, but then it becomes a waste of time. Because you can't use it spiritually. Does that make sense? Yes.
Yeah,
Maharaj, now, like, having gone through the philosophy course, then when we read any book on Aparavidya, then it makes much more sense, the book itself, the knowledge itself.
Yes, yes.
Because of the principle that we see, the principle of philosophy in that, then we understand the Shakti behind and then how it works, then...
Yes, because it's Satkaryavad. So the point is that the Aparavidya is going to be expanding from the Paravidya. It's the secondary forms of Paravidya. And so, you know, like Krishna says, he's the sun, the moon, the stars. That's then where he is, though. That's where astrology and all that comes from. So if you understand how it connects back to Krishna, you actually understand how it works. Otherwise, it's not difficult. See, just like otherwise, it's mechanical, right? You have a particular planet in a particular, house, which is in a particular zodiac sign with particular nakshatras. And then the particular relationships with those planets, where they are, whether they're friendly, whether they're neutral, or whether they're, inimical towards each other. Then you'll mathematically put this all together and come up with your understanding. Right? And so you can do it that way, but it's very, very difficult. You know, not the people that are very intelligent don't do that, and they have the qualification, they do well at it. But it's the problem is though, but then that mechanics, how do you apply that? Because technically speaking, they only know the mechanics. You know, God bless their souls, but that's all they know. You know what I'm saying? They may try to say they know everything. You know, it's like that. You know, it's like an academic knows. They have a degree, so they know everything. You know astrology, you know everything. You know, mutant, you know everything. It's just whatever. You know something that you think you know everything. But the problem comes down is that why is it all like that? You know, why would it be like that? We just know it is like that. There's the mathematics of it, and then those who have that scholarly nature and can sit down, and, you know, a few years, they can become, you know, quite comfortable with it. But the thing is these are all personalities that have certain potencies of Krishna. And therefore, as personalities, they have relationships. Right? It's just like, let's say, you have a personality. Right? And so in that personality, you have certain qualities and certain other things that are there. Right? And so now when you're with your friends, you're going to manifest those very nicely. Right? Now, if you're in a neutral environment, you're not going to use unless it's something that needs to formally be done. Now, if you're in an environment where you're surrounded by people you don't like, you're just going to be quiet. Right? Does that make sense? And so, and all these things, they all belong to a certain house. It means that in your house, you're going to act one way. So now, if you're in your house, and there's a friend there, then that's going to be a very nice environment. If it's your house, but it's going to be a formal occasion, then it will, you know, something will be there. It'll go very nicely, but, you know, you won't see as much happening. Now, it's your house, but you have someone who's inimical towards you in the house, then it's not going to be nice, but it's, you know, it's going to be less not nice than another, but, you know, it's not going to be good. But now let's say you're in a friend's house, then it'll be similar like yours. Basically the same kind of qualities will be there. That's why it's the same. But then if the friend's and it's formal, it'll be a little bit more formal than at your house. Because it's not your program. And if an enemy's there, then it'll be even more. Now what happens if you're in an enemy's house? Then, you know, you're not going to see anything manifesting. You understand? So this is what's going on. This is what's actually going on. It's all personal. It's all about the relationships. And so then if you understand the qualities, what qualities relate with what things have the things and how to apply, then you see it in the context of Krishna, then you can explain all these things in that way. Does that make sense? You know, Krishna has the 64 qualities. So those qualities are the ones that are going to be manifest in these planets. It's not that they have different qualities. So therefore, certain ones go together. That makes that planet. And certain other ones go together. Maybe overlap, maybe not, because there has to be some overlap. Otherwise, how are they friends? Right? Means friends means you have common qualities. So in where they're common, that's where they'll be friendly. You know what I'm saying? So they may be friendly in one aspect, but not in another. Does that make sense? So that's the different things that are going to be there. You know, or they may have something common, and that's where the inimicalness is. Right? You know, like Brihaspati and Sukra, they're both Brahmins. So that's the common point, but that's where the problems are. Does that make sense? You know, and so you're going to have different things. That's all on that. You know, it means when you have the sun, so that's going to be like Kshatriya. Then the Brahmins, then they're going to behave very nicely with the sun. But you won't see them manifest as much of their glory. Because the king is there, then they're the prominent person. You know, and you give advice if they're looking for it, and if you're not, you don't. You know, you're not in your environment. You're in their environment. You understand? So the whole culture is what defines this. And if that's understood, all this becomes very easy. You know, in a few days, you can become very comfortable with it and understand it way more than these technical astrologers who then have it all memorized because they have good, you know, good memory, good mathematical skills, and, you know, that kind of mechanical skills. And then they can go through and go, oh, yeah, this is here, and that's how, and so this is bad, and this is that. But they don't really know why. So that's the thing. How will they apply it into your life? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is Lord Chaitanya explaining it in the context of Krishna consciousness. How it connects to Krishna. Because the grammar is coming from Krishna. Right? That's the whole point. He is language. And so there's a grammar for that language. And so it's also him. And so how that connects, how you can use it. So what are you discussing? Right? About Krishna. Right? You know, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, different arrangements for Krishna. Like this. You know, like say, so that means all the grammar connects. So it actually is connected to philosophy. You know, from that, connected to devotional service. So Krishna, in this mood, then this would be what you would use. Like you see when, in the morning, when they're describing certain things, they use these poetic aspects. Right? And then at other times they use, you know, the tattva and things like that. So it just depends on the mood, the things that they do. So it covers all that. But it's not a secondary. It means it has that secondary, but all this is coming from the primary. It's relationship with Krishna. So unless you understand Krishna, these things won't make any sense. That's why you see those who have studied Panini and other things, they stay as far away from Harinamrita Vyakaran as possible. Literally. You know? So, because the problem is it's personal. And the grammar system they learned from Shiva, it's not personal. At least in how they were taught it. Not that it couldn't be understood in the same way, because grammar is grammar. But the approach that's used in all that, it's not personal. So they don't like the Harinamrita. Otherwise, why is it that now we don't have so many scholars in Harinamrita Vyakaran? Anybody basically who's good at grammar, they all go for Panini. Right? Impersonal background, impersonal system. You know, it's a match. You know, we have a few that are, and if they do it, then they're very good. Yes?
Also, there is this aspect that those who are more Vedic, when they read Apara Vidya, most of the time in those books it's mentioned that you have to do such and such things have to be done. Like, yes. These are the rules.
Right.
They are comfortable to follow it, so that's why they could go a little more far. But nowadays, they omit all the rules and then just catch the skill and try to apply it.
Yes.
So they hardly learn anything from it, and then they don't see anything.
Because they don't want to learn anything from it more than what practically they could do. Because the point is you have a dictionary, you can look it up. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Like before, they spoke Sanskrit. Then you learn grammar. You know? So it's natural, is that there's a lifestyle that goes with it. So we see is that Vedic lifestyle, that mode of goodness, that matches, because Vaishnavas are in pure goodness. So the form's going to be the same, but why it's pure is because it's connected to Krishna. Because connected to Krishna, then it takes on the personal, then there's so many other things that are there. So the scholarly pursuit tends to be impersonal, because it's dry, it's just facts. Because facts, then you can play with it as you like. The other one, then, it's not so much, because it's personal. You can't just move it around how you like. So it's nice. So you see, those who didn't know Sanskrit, they'll go for Harinamrita. Those who already came knowing Sanskrit, they generally never do. Really, they'll deal with it. They don't have a problem because they're devotees. But otherwise, if you're quoting something that is in one and not in Panini, they'll always side with Panini.
Also, can we say that it's unique in the Now, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is what we call the whole philosophy includes both rasa and tattva to a great extent, because we are reading that vibhavas, the first aspect is visha and ashraya.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as anybody else goes, they only go till that. Then the udipanas, then it is said that only when the vibhavas are completely manifest, then one can, like, when the vibhava aspect is mature, then anubhavas manifest.
Yes.
So then that height going on is like...
Yes, well, there's a finer point like that, because the things are so, it's so non-different from Krishna, and everything seemed connected to Krishna, that every aspect of Krishna can be used in relationship to Krishna. You know, in the Braja, the mood of Braja. Well, others, then, it's related because of the formality and all these things like that. He's God, and so then they can deal in that way. So then, it's going to be for Majesty, there's certain things that are appropriate. Like that. But for Krishna, anything can be used. That's the whole point. But that anything can be used means it's anything in the context of how it pleases Krishna, not anything but what pleases me. You can start there. It means, in other words, we don't mind people start with Aropya Bhakti and Sakam Karma Yoga. You know, they can start there. And so that connection to Krishna, that's what purifies it and makes it perfect. But as time goes, it has to come to Nishkam. Right? And from that, then turn into Prema. Right, so it has to move beyond that. So the thing is, oh, it's all connected. We can use anything. Yes, you can. But what's your motive for it's all connected to Krishna? We can use anything. What's the motive? If the motive is now I can do what I want, I don't have to follow so many rules. That's neophyte. And if it's about I can see everything and try to find a connection to Krishna, right? Because all potencies are coming from it. So the gopis are able to use every aspect of that. It doesn't matter what the body of knowledge. They can use it for Krishna, and in the past times it'll come up at different times. So that's the uniqueness that's theirs. It's taken that these others are more scholarly simply because, so we take it scholarly as the secondary aspects, not the primary. Right? And so, because the primary, it's a matter of that affection for Krishna. And then there's knowledge and skills that go with the secondary. So these knowledge and skills, then those are taken as higher. Right, because as we see, Lord Chaitanya, then Nityananda is, you know, his elder, and then Advaitacharya is up. So it has that reversal aspect. And in the past, that we deal like that. You know, you respect somebody for their knowledge or their authority, you know, their authority, influence, their money, all these things. So that's not a problem. But we have to understand is that when it says that the prayers of Brahma and Shiva and the demigods don't impress Krishna, it literally means that. Means that whatever devotion is there that they're offering, that is accepted. But it's not the technical points of the philosophy that they're saying that is catching Krishna's attention. You know, it's the devotion which is saying it. But you'll see is the resident of Vrindavan, they're going to say all these things, so it's pleasing to Krishna. Right? We're saying it about, you know, I'm here, I'm the living entity, you're God, you're this, you're that, we're like this, and we, you know, we forget you, but then we remember you, and like that. And it's all correct. It's all perfect. And so that devotion that's applied there is there. But for the others, they'll take everything and match it to Krishna. That's the advantage of this system of learning. So if one appreciates that, then one can start to see how these other things connect. You know, otherwise, then you just end up with instead of George and Sam, you know, how you say, went out for a walk. Then you have, you know, Robbie and someone else, and Tubby. Then they went to the temple. So we just take the karmic work and just change the names to, how you say, protect the innocents. Right? Does that make sense? So, because we're not seeing how all this connects to Krishna. We're connecting it from our position, but we're not seeing how the culture and all that is all there. So, you see Lord Chaitanya taught like that. That's the teaching, right? How it connects to Krishna. Because then you can use it for Krishna. And the Brajbasis, they can use all of it, but it's not their identity. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know astrology. Now in the community of Vaishnavas, what are you known as? An astrologer. That's your identity. So when people come to talk to you, talk as the astrologer. You know, they have a question, they go to you as the astrologer. You know, someone wants a chart done, they go to you. Because of that, because you're the astrologer. Well, in Braj, they all know these things. They're just used in the pastime. Where it comes up to use, they'll use it. Where it doesn't, they don't bother. It's not an identity for them. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Also, as a study, like in the Gurukula and other even normal study, once one is just acquainted with the basic skills of learning, after that, first is it that they learn enough philosophy so that then only they go to Aparavidya subjects so that they could make that connection?
Yeah, but I mean, you teach it, Lord Chaitanya is teaching it together.
Okay.
The one point of, like, let's say you have the, in a certain grammatical point, you have a letter that's silent, like that. And so then, like, the A is silent. You know, you have the what do you call it? I think they call it the Haladar or something like that. It means the plow, right? Because, you know, from Balaram. And I think in Panini they have a different name. So the point is that it's silent. So it's hidden. You don't see it. It's there. It has its effect, but it's not said. So now, when you're dealing in everything here in the world and its function, why does it work? Just on its own, or because of Krishna? Do you see Krishna? No, that's the philosophy. So you can teach everything. You know, it's just, you know, you have to appreciate it. So that's the idea, is that we try as much as possible to see it connected to Krishna as much as our realization is. You know, but as you said, if we understand the philosophy, then the Aparavidya is much easier to see how it connects. Like I said, that one, we were visiting a pundit. He was a Vaidya, an Ayurvedic doctor, and discussing philosophy and all that. Because a lot of them before, many of them, you see, you just go, it's just doctor stuff, all that. But previously, you'd see ones that you could sit in, because we're devotees, they'd talk philosophy. And then, you know, they take care of the health also. But, you know, for them, the taste was more that. So he was taking a verse from the Ayurveda and then explaining it according to the Sanskrit, how it applies as medicine. Then he applied it, how it applies as philosophy. Then, you know, like Vedanta. Then how it applies as astrology. How it applies as Dharma Shastra. And he showed all of those, all in that one verse. So if you understand, it's that it's all, there's only one Krishna's non-dual. It's just that in this verse, it's using the terminology and it's indicating the astrological the Ayurvedic aspect. But it doesn't mean that all those other aspects aren't there. So then you can see from this all these others. So then you can see the connection. Like you see some that know both, they can look at the astrology and the health and then tell you, you know, more what to do. Just the doctor can just go by, you have these symptoms. The other one can tell you have these planets. You're always going to have those symptoms. So therefore, by do this, then, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah, good. You had something? No? Are we good? Yes.
Right. In Harinam Vyakarana Jiva Goswami, for example, he defines the sandhyas. He says that just like the mind gets changed when in contact with Krishna, so to speak, in the same way, a letter changes when in contact with another letter inside the word. So I don't think Panini defines sandhyas in the same way.
No, he won't. He's not, because that's not. He's respected. It's bona fide grammar. The point is there. That's the difference in Harinamrita. It's going to be always connected to Krishna, and it's going to be clear. It means the commentaries can help you understand, but the point is from the verses itself it's more clear. But Panini without a commentary, you cannot understand it. Right? I think he wrote his own commentary or others like that. And then you see his others, and they put it together in different ways. So I think you have the, what is it, Astadhyaya is the original. But then you have whatever's the very one that basically everyone studies nowadays.
Komudi.
He's taken and rearranged everything. So that means it's not even technically going according to the original grammar. It's just how they can understand it. Yes.
Just like in the modern, whatever we call it, science is actually an art. They observe and then
yes.
do it. Similarly, even the people who are considering this upper avidya, the point may be, the principle may be a philosopher, more scientific,
right.
But how to understand, explain is all art, and then it keeps changing with...
Yes, because, what's your value, what's your lead? That's the weakness of it. That's why then the descending process is strong. So as we mature in Krishna consciousness, can appreciate things, then these things can be used. It's just like if you're in the modes of passion and ignorance, very hard to use things in goodness. But as you get purified and are situated in goodness, then you can use them. But ultimately, it's pure goodness that you're trying to apply. Therefore, if a person explains anything that is not Krishna, he simply wastes his time laboring hard and without fulfilling the aim of his life. So you can get knowledge, you can get a job, you can make money, but the point is then what's the point of that life? If one simply becomes a teacher or professor of education but does not understand Krishna, it is to be understood that he is among the lowest of mankind. Right? Because he's going to come up with things that are going to deviate people from the actual proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Naradhama Mayaya Pratigyana. One does not so. In other words, Mayaya Pratigyana, his knowledge gets distracted. But now as he sees, is that they'll preach against the Vedic principles, and then that turns them into a Naradhama. One does not know the essence of all revealed scriptures, but still becomes a teacher. His teaching is like the disturbing braying of an ass. And the donkey, actually, in his mind, he is saying poetry. Yes. 1:13:30. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a student, he asked whomever he met to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In this way, he inundated the whole town of Navadvip with the chanting of Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. The present Navadvip Dham is but a part of the whole Navadvip. Navadvip means nine islands. These nine islands, which occupy an area of land estimated at 32 square miles, are surrounded by different branches of the Ganges. In all nine of those islands of the Navadvip area, there are different places for cultivating devotional service. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:23 that there are Navavidha Bhakti, nine different activities of devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:23. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarnam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Shakyam, Atmanivedanam. There are different islands in the Navadvip area for cultivation of these nine varieties of devotional service. They are as follows. 1. Antadvip. 2. Simantadvip. 3. Godurumadvip. 4. Madhyadvip. 5. Koladvip. 6. Ritudvip. 7. Janudvip. 8. Modurumadvip. And 9. Rudradvip. According to the settlement map, our ISKCON Navadvip Center is situated on the Rudradvip Island. Below Rudradvip in Antadvip is Mayapur. There, Sri Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, used to reside. In all these different islands, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a young man, used to lead his Samkirtan party. He thus inundated the entire area with the waves of love of Krishna. 1:13:31-32. Just prior to his youthful life, he began the Samkirtan movement. Day and night, he used to dance in ecstasy with his devotees. The Samkirtan movement went on from one part of the town to another, as the Lord wandered everywhere performing kirtana. In this way, he inundated the whole world by distributing love of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada. One may raise the question how all three worlds became inundated with love of Krishna, since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed kirtan only in the Navadvipa area. The answer is that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. The entire cosmic manifestation results from the Lord's first setting it in motion. Similarly, since the Sankirtan movement was set in motion 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire that it spread all over the universe, the Krishna conscious movement, in continuity of the same motion, is now spreading all over the world. And in this way, it will gradually spread all over the universe. Right? So it will go. Lord Chaitanya has established it. That's how it will happen. Like that. With the spread of the Krishna conscious movement, everyone will merge in an ocean of love of Krishna. Right? So for those who are attached to merging, you can, but in an ocean of love of Krishna. 1:13:33-39. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in Navadvipa, in the Navadvipa area for 24 years, and he induced every person to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and thus merge in love of Krishna. For his remaining 24 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after accepting the renounced order of life, stayed at Jagannath Puri with his devotees. For six of these 24 years in Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, he distributed love of Godhead by always chanting and dancing. Beginning from Cape Cormoran and extending through Bengal to Vrindavan, during these 6 years he toured all of India, chanting, dancing, and distributing love of Krishna. The activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his travels after he accepted sannyas are his principal pastimes. His activities during his remaining 18 years are called the Antyalila, or the final portion of his pastimes. For six of the 18 years, he continually stayed in Jagannath Puri. He regularly performed Sankirtan, induced all the devotees to love Krishna simply by chanting and dancing. For the remaining 12 years, he stayed in Jagannath Puri. He taught everyone how to taste the transcendental mellow ecstasy of love of Krishna by tasting it himself. Srila Prabhupada, a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness always feels separation from Krishna because such a feeling of separation excels the feeling of meeting Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his last 12 years of existence within this world at Jagannath Puri, taught the people of the world how, with a feeling of separation, one can develop his dormant love of Krishna. Such feelings of separation or meeting with Krishna are different stages of love of Godhead. These feelings develop in time when a person seriously engages in devotional service. Footnote 1. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Bhagavad Gita 4:38. The highest stage is called Prema Bhakti, but this stage is attained by executing Sadhana Bhakti. One should not try to elevate oneself artificially to the stage of Prema Bhakti without seriously following the regular principles of Sadhana Bhakti. Prema Bhakti is the stage of relishing, whereas Sadhana Bhakti is the stage of improving in devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this cult of devotional service in full detail by practical application in his own life. So he showed how he goes through all these different, and he himself, he's engaged in the Sankirtan movement. He's tasting these things. It is said, therefore, Apani Achari Bhakti Shri Kaimu Shabhare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, and in the role of Krishna Bhakta, a devotee of Krishna, he instructed the entire world how one can execute devotional service and thus go back home, back to Godhead, in due course of time. 1:13:40-41. Day and night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt separation from Krishna. Manifesting symptoms of this separation, he cried and talked very inconsistently, like a madman, as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently when she met Uddhava. So also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished, both day and night, such ecstatic talk in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, one should refer to Srimati Radharani's soliloquy after meeting Uddhava in Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented a similar picture of such ecstatic imaginary talking, full of jealousy and madness, symptomizing neglect by Krishna. Srimati Radharani, criticizing a bumblebee, talked just like a madwoman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the last days of his pastimes, exhibited all the symptoms of such ecstasy. In this connection, one should refer to the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, verses 107 and 108, footnote 2. In the final portion of his pastimes, Lord Chaitanya was obsessed with the madness of separation from Lord Krishna. He acted in erroneous ways and talked deliriously. Just as Radhika went mad at the sight of Uddhava, so Lord Chaitanya was obsessed day and night with the madness of separation. In his Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada writes, one of the gopis, namely Srimati Radharani, was so much absorbed in thoughts of Krishna by dint of her personal touch with him that she actually began to talk with a bumblebee which was flying there and trying to touch her lotus feet. While the other gopis were talking with Krishna's messenger, Uddhava, Srimati Radharani took that bumblebee to be a messenger from Krishna, began to talk with it as follows. Quote, "Bumblebee, you are accustomed to drinking honey from flower to flower, and therefore you prefer to be a messenger of Krishna, who is of the same nature as you. I can see on your mustaches the red powder of kumkuma, which is smeared on the flower garland of Krishna, while it was pressed against the breast of some other girl who is my competitor. You feel very proud because of having touched that garland, and your mustaches have become reddish. You have come here carrying a message for me, anxious to touch my feet. But my dear bumblebee, let me warn you, don't touch me. I don't want any messages from your unreliable master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master." End quote. It may be that Srimati Radharani purposely addressed the bumblebee sarcastically in order to indirectly criticize the messenger Uddhava. Like the other gopi, Srimati Radharani saw that Uddhava's bodily features resembled Krishna's, but she also saw Uddhava as being equal to Krishna. Indirectly, therefore, she indicated that Uddhava was as unreliable as Krishna himself. Srimati Radharani wanted to give specific reasons why she was dissatisfied with Krishna and his messenger. She addressed the bumblebee, "Your master Krishna is exactly of your quality. You sit down on a flower, and after tasting a little honey, you immediately fly away and sit on another flower and taste. Similarly, only once did your master Krishna give me the chance to taste the touch of his lips, and then he left me altogether. I know also that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, who is always in the midst of the lotus flower, is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. But I do not know how she has become so captivated by Krishna, and why she is so much attached to Krishna, although she knows his actual character. Maybe she is so much captivated by Krishna's sweet words that she cannot understand his real character. As far as we are concerned, we are more intelligent than the goddess of fortune. We are not going to be cheated anymore by Krishna or his messengers." Srimati Radharani continued, "You foolish bumblebee, you are trying to satisfy me and get a reward by singing the glories of Krishna, but it is a useless attempt. We gopis are bereft of all our possessions. We are away from our homes and families. We know very well about Krishna. We know even more than you. So whatever you make up about him will be old stories to us. Krishna is now in the city and is better known as the friend of Arjuna. He now has many new girlfriends who are no doubt happy in his association. Because the lusty burning sensation of their breasts has been satisfied by Krishna, they are now happy. If you go there and glorify Krishna, they may be pleased to reward you. You are just trying to pacify me by your behavior as a flatterer, and therefore you have put your head under my feet. But I know the trick you are trying to play. I know that you are a messenger coming from an even greater trickster, Krishna. Therefore, please leave me. I can understand that you are expert in reuniting two opposing parties, but at the same time you must know that I cannot place my reliance upon you, nor upon your master, Krishna. We left our husbands, children, relatives only for Krishna, yet he did not feel any obligation in exchange. At last he left us forlorn. Do you think we can place our faith in him again? We know that Krishna cannot live for a moment without the association of young women. That is his nature. He is finding difficulty in Mathura because he is no longer in the village amongst innocent cowherd girls. He is in aristocratic society and must be feeling difficulty in making friendships with other young girls. Perhaps you have come here to canvass again or to take us there, but why should Krishna expect us to go there? He is greatly qualified to entice all other girls, not only in Vrindavan or Mathura, but all over the universe. His wonderfully enchanting smile is so attractive, and the movements of his eyebrows are so beautiful, that he can call for any woman from the heavenly middle or plutonic planets. Even Mahalakshmi, the greatest of all goddesses of fortunes, hankers to render him some service. In comparison to all these women in the universe, what are we? We are very insignificant. Krishna advertises himself as magnanimous, and he is praised by great saints. His qualifications would be perfectly utilized if he would only show us some mercy, for we are so much downtrodden and neglected by him. You poor messenger, you are only a less intelligent servant. You do not know much about Krishna, how ungrateful and hard-hearted he has been, not only in this life, but in his previous lives also. We have all heard this from our grandmother Purnamasi. He has informed us that Krishna was born in a Kshatriya family previous to this birth, and was known as Ramachandra. In that birth, instead of killing Vali, an enemy of his friend, in the manner of a Kshatriya, he killed him just like a hunter. A hunter takes a secure hiding place and then kills an animal without facing it. So Lord Ramachandra, as a Kshatriya, should have fought with Vali face to face. But, instigated by his friend, he killed him from behind a tree. Thus he deviated from the religious principles of a Kshatriya. Also, he was so attracted by the beauty of Sita that he converted Suparnaka, their sister of Ravana, into an ugly woman by cutting off her nose and ears. Suparnaka proposed an intimate relationship with him, and as a Kshatriya, he should have satisfied her. But he was so henpecked that he could not forget Sita Devi and converted Suparnaka into an ugly woman. Before that birth as a Kshatriya, he took birth as a Brahmana boy, known as Vamanadeva, and asked charity for Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was so magnanimous that he gave him whatever he had. Yet Krishna, as Vamanadeva, ungratefully arrested him, just like a crow, and pushed him down to the Patala region, kingdom. We know all about Krishna and how ungrateful he is. But here is the difficulty. In spite of his being so cruel and hard-hearted, it is very difficult for us to give up talking about him. And it is not only we who are unable to give up this talk, but great sages and saintly persons also engaged in talking about him. We gopis of Vrindavan do not want to make any more friendships with this blackish boy, but we do not know how we shall be able to give up remembering and talking about his activities. Since Krishna is absolute, his so-called unkind activities are as relishable as his kind activities. Therefore, saintly persons, the great devotees like the gopis, cannot give up Krishna in any circumstances. Lord Chaitanya therefore prayed, quote, Krishna, you are free and independent in all respects. You can either embrace me or crush me under your feet. Whatever you like. You may make me brokenhearted by not letting me see you throughout my whole life, but you are my only object of love, end quote. In my opinion, Srimati Radharani continued, no one should hear about Krishna, because as soon as a drop of the nectar of his transcendental activities is poured into the ear, one immediately rises above the duality of attraction and rejection. Being completely freed from the contamination of material attachment, one gives up attachment for the material world, including family, home, wife, children, everything else, materially dear to every person. Being deprived of all material acquisitions, one makes his relatives and himself unhappy. Then he wanders in search of Krishna, either as a human being or in other species of life, even as a bird, and voluntarily accepts the profession of a mendicant. It is very difficult to actually understand Krishna, his name, his qualities, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and his entourage. End quote. Srimati Radharani continued to speak to the black messenger of Krishna. Well, please do not talk any more about Krishna. It is better to talk about something else. We are already doomed, like the black-spotted she-deer in the forest. We're enchanted by the sweet musical vibration of the hunter. In the same way, we have been enchanted by the sweet words of Krishna, and by thinking of the rays of his toenails again and again, we are becoming more and more lusty for his association. Therefore, I request you to not talk of Krishna any more. End quote. While Radharani was talking with the bee, and the bee was flying hither and thither, it all of a sudden disappeared from her sight. She was in full mourning due to separation from Krishna, and felt ecstasy by talking with the bee. But as soon as the bee disappeared, she became almost mad, thinking that the messenger bee might have returned to Krishna to inform him all about her talking against him. Quote, Krishna must be very sorry to hear it, end quote. She thought, in this way she was overwhelmed by another type of ecstasy. In the meantime, the bee, flying hither and thither, appeared before her again. She thought, Krishna is still kind to me. In spite of the messenger's carrying disruptive messages, he is so kind that he has again sent the bee to take me to him. End quote. Srimati Radharani was very careful this time not to say anything against Krishna. Quote, my dear friend, I welcome you, she said. Krishna is so kind that he has again sent you. Krishna is so kind and affectionate to me that he has fortunately sent you back, in spite of your carrying my message against him. All good fortune to you, my dear friend. Now you may ask of me whatever you want. I shall give you anything because you are so kind to me. You have come to take me to Krishna because he is not able to come here, being surrounded by new girlfriends in Mathura. But you are a tiny creature. How can you take me there? How will you be able to help me meet Krishna while he's taking rest there with the goddess of fortune and embracing her to his chest? Never mind. Let us forget all these things about my going there or sending you. Please let me know how Krishna is faring in Mathura. Tell me if he still remembers his foster father, Nandamaj, his affectionate mother, Jashoda, his cowherd friends and his poor friends like us, the gopis. I am sure he must sometimes sing about us, who served him just like maidservants, without any payment. Is there any possibility that Krishna will come back and place his Aguru-scended hands on our heads? Please put all these inquiries to Krishna. End quote. Uddhava was standing near, and he heard Radharani talking in this way, as if she had become almost mad for Krishna. He was exceedingly surprised at how the gopis were accustomed to thinking of Krishna constantly, in that topmost ecstasy of Mahabhava love, right? Because he hadn't seen this. Because in Dwarka, they don't get anywhere near this. The queens, they get up to Anubhava. They never get to Mahabhava like that. So this is something he's never seen.
We were discussing that in the practicing devotees, this unearth of thinking liberation as something valuable still exists. But then we see in the symptoms, one of the symptoms of bhava is that unearth goes away, that moksha lagutarpa.
Yeah, there's no interest in that.
So then as more the bhava is intensifies, then because of the possessiveness of Krishna, then there is no, it even doesn't exist like.
Well, because you're always with Krishna.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's because you're not seeing him. Therefore, even though you're with Krishna, it's giving the sense of separation. So, you know, where's the question of liberation? You're always so absorbed in Krishna. Right? So it's another category. Like that. So liberation has no interest for them, no use. That's why I say liberation is standing at the door, you know, ready to render service, but, you know, what service will liberation offer? You know, what will you do? Yes?
The difficulty for sadhaka seems to be is that to get this mood of purvarag before meeting the object of our love,
right?
It's highly logical, because if we never met, then how can we feel separation?
But the point is that's why it said, that's why we said that the person who understands that Krishna and his name are non-different, they're situated on the platform of bhava. So when that becomes exclusive, that's purvarag. So because we're saying we haven't met, but we go to the temple and meet him every day there, we chant his holy name, that's non-different from him. Right? We're hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Those are non-different. So how have we not met? Because otherwise, if we meet, then what will you be meeting? What will you see? You know, it's just like that one pastime that Prabhupada tells of the old lady who goes out to the forest and collects firewood. Mm. And, you know, one day she made a bundle so big she couldn't properly carry it. It fell off her head. right? So then she's in anxiety because now she can't carry it, and if she leaves it, someone else would take it, and you know, then you know, how is she, you know, she has to take this, that's how she gets her maintenance. So she's crying out to Krishna, and because it was so intense and absorbed, Krishna appeared there. When he appears, says, "How can I help you?" She said, "Can you put this back on my head?" You know, because there's no one there to help. And so Krishna, yeah, he put it back on her head and immediately disappeared. And then she understood, I should have asked for something else. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that even if Krishna walked in right now, what would you do?
Bow down, offer prayers.
What prayers will you say?
Brahma Samhita, whatever.
Okay.
Some prayers.
Yeah, but you understand the point. So therefore, how much of Krishna does he need to manifest for that? You understand? So you won't see Braja Krishna anyway. Even Braja Krishna walks in, how you'll interact with him, he'll reciprocate with you, you know, in kind. So it won't be Braja Krishna. So this idea is, well, until we see Braja, but you can't see Braja Krishna until you have that attitude and see him that way. So that's why he has the association with the devotees. So then, by seeing the name and Krishna's non-different, that brings you to Bhava. In Bhava, then by the association of the eternal associates, that's where you catch that mood. Then cultivating that mood, that comes to Purva Rag. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's all an association. So it's always association. Like that. You know, it's not tricks, it's not this, that, it's not techniques, it's not particular knowledge of words or, you know, like that. It's that mood that they have, because that's what's exclusive. So, yes.
How do you define Purva Rag?
Purva Rag means that complete attachment to Krishna. It means that because the attachment can't have anything else, because it's the, you could say, the end of Smaranadasa. Means that, you know, because you have five stages of meditation, where there'll be, you know, occasional and regular, and then steady, and then actual meditation, and then that deepens the samadhi. So when it comes to that point where it's about Krishna exclusively, that's why Radharani's mentioned we've left everything, because it's exclusive. Like that. The Lord used to read the books of Vidyapati, Jayadeva, and Chandidas, relishing their songs with his confidential associates like Sri Ramananda Rai and Surup Damodar Goswami. Srila Prabhupada. Vidyapati was the famous composer of songs about the pastimes of Radha Krishna. He was an inhabitant of Mithila, born in a Brahmin family. It is calculated that he composed his songs during the reign of King Shiva Simha and Queen Lachima Devi. In the beginning of the 14th century of the Shaka era, almost 100 years before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the 12th generation of Vidyapati's descendants is still living. Vidyapati's songs about the pastimes of Lord Krishna expresses intense feelings of separation from Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished all those songs in his ecstasy of separation from Krishna. Jayadeva was born during the reign of Maharaj Lakshmana Sena of Bengal. In the 11th or 12th century of the Shaka era, his father was Bojadev and his mother was Vamadevi. For many years, he lived in Navadvip, then the capital of Bengal. His birthplace was in the Birbhum district, in the village of Kendu Bilva. In the opinion of some authorities, however, he was born in Orissa, and still others say he was born in southern India. He passed the last days of his life in Jagannath Puri. One of his famous books is Gita Govinda, which is full of transcendental mellow feelings of separation from Krishna. The gopis felt separation from Krishna before the Rasa dance, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Gita Govinda expresses such feelings. There are many commentaries on the Gita Govinda by many Vaishnavas. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama. Oh, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaurav.